Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PPC show brought to you by AdStage. I am one of your hosts, Paul Wicker from AdStage.
Just cut you off.
I never say from AdStage, but I did it this week. Listeners, their mind is blown.
You even caught me off guard. I'm JD Prater.
Where are you from, JD Prater?
Oh, man. Where am I from? Oh, Cora. I was like, where am I from? Like, I had like really think about that. I was like, you could, Oklahoma?
You can tell it's Friday at 4 o'clock. It is March 22nd, 2019. These are your top headlines in paid marketing. And we had a week off because I was over in Maine camping. Not camping, hanging out with friends at a really nice house. But it used to be camping, so we call it camping. So apologies, we were not here. And we couldn't talk about the biggest story of the week, which was that Facebook was down and, you know, internet people went crazy.
OMG. Can you believe it? 14 hours. That's a long time.
The memes were out of control. Everyone making the obvious jokes about like people coming out of their homes, speaking to each other. And of course on Twitter it was hilarious. You know, a lot of people showing up saying like, oh, so this is Twitter. How you doing?
Yeah, I saw that Telegram had 3 million downloads in that period. And I was like, wow, good for you. So this is what happens whenever Facebook goes down. We just turn our heads to another medium, which again is, I think, is okay.
We're depressed. It is also slightly depressing that it's like, wait, we could engage with the real world. Nope, let me try a different social network. But
that's right.
It happened. If you were an advertiser on Facebook and you relied on that as your primary revenue source, which in the article in this week's newsletter tells you all about, you lost a lot of money because you weren't selling anything because there's nobody on Facebook. In some cases, Instagram, in some cases, WhatsApp as well. There's an estimate that the outage could have cost Facebook more than $53 million in ad revenue, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. What's crazy is that, so they just took like last year's, you know, revenue, almost $34 billion. And you divide that by, again, the number of hours in a year. And that means that they make $3.7 million in ad revenue every single hour. And just for fun, they rake in more than $1,000 every second. Second. There was $2,000 they just made.
That is insane. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Now all I'm doing is counting seconds and thinking $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. Yeah. That's a lot of money. So Facebook going down is obviously not good for anybody. Not good for Facebook. Not good for people who rely on Facebook. But it is good for their competitors. They had that happen. I will say too, I never figured out what happened. They kind of had some very vague posts on Twitter, like something went wrong. Then they were like, it wasn't an attack or like a DDoS or whatever. But that was it. I never followed up, but it felt like they were very non-communicative when like, if we go down, which never happens here at AdStage, but if that happens, you know, because like Amazon went down once, so we went down, so did like half the internet, but you know, we put a little message, we're looking into it, we're not sure, we found out Amazon went down, you know, we're working, like, you know, we tell people what's up, Facebook, nope, nothing.
Yeah, I saw that that's funny, they went to Twitter to announce that they were down like a few hours, I mean, after they had been down, but I think the only thing that I saw was something about a server configuration error, and again, I was just like, 14 hours for a server error? Wow. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it does. I bet it was an attack. It feels like if there was an attack, they wouldn't tell us because it would be national security and this would be the cover up, you would say. So I feel like there was probably an attack. This is probably a major hack and they're just hiding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. More bad news from Facebook. They had, it really, we're piling on, two stories. One, I'll do the third one first because I was reading this earlier. They had all these account passwords in the regular old text file and someone realized over at Facebook, like, hey, we probably shouldn't store, you know, what it was like 100,000 or hundreds of millions, right, of passwords in a text file because that's horrible security practices.
Yes. But I mean, I think on that one, I saw like this had been going back since 2012. So this is a few years worth of passwords. But again, the good thing for all of you users, good and bad, like no one saw this outside of Facebook. So only accessible to around 2,000 engineers and developers. So, you know, again, not great. That should be, you know, hashed in salt, but still, you know, not exactly a good practice.
Right. At least it wasn't an announcement of another leak. So that's good news, but change your Facebook passwords nonetheless. And some numbers. So there was a report that came out, kind of the numbers on all the platforms these days. Mm. And there's no surprise that if you're young, you're not using Facebook anymore. They continue to have their popularity decrease. So let's see, 61% of respondents ages 12 and older report using Facebook, which is down from 67% 2 years ago. So their Facebook usage is unsurprisingly falling.
But Instagram, Paul, where are they going to the Instagram?
True. Hey. Let's see. Instagram went from 7% to 16%. So mathing, that's 9% increase. And Facebook went from 61 to 67. So 6% decrease. Of course, the Facebook users are way numbers. There's way more Facebook users. So, you know, 6% of Facebook is a lot bigger than 9% of Instagram. But either way, you're right. They're absolutely making it up in Instagram and WhatsApp.
That was a really good play for them to, buying that one up for only $1 billion.
Right. So WhatsApp is now at 18% usage for everyone. Snapchat and Pinterest, just if you were curious, 31% of the market uses Snapchat. That's not Snapchat and Pinterest together. It's both. Snapchat is at 31% and Pinterest is at 31%. I was surprised Pinterest was so high, to be honest. So good job, yeah. Pinterest.
But even then, though, I mean, their 12 to 34 is definitely declining. I mean, they were at 5% in 2017, down to 1% for 2019. I know 2019, it's only March. I say only March, only Q1. But they've got some ground to make up because, as we saw, I mean, IPO is right around the corner. I don't know if you saw any of those articles coming out, but it's
Who's going? Lyft, them.
Lyft, Pinterest, let's see, Airbnb, right. Uber. Slack.
It's, oh my God. San Francisco is going to be unbearable.
Oh man. We have some good internal Slack channels about how much money, like all these new millionaires. So there's going to be a lot of new millionaires coming into San Francisco. And they're not new coming into San Francisco. They're already in San Francisco. They're just going to go buy really expensive houses now.
And we are not ones of them. You moved. You left the Bay Area. You went down to Aptos, which no one will know if you don't live in the Bay Area. But a lovely place, a little bit south of, I guess it's Bay Area-ish. It's kind of Santa Cruz area.
Over the hill, as we say.
Oh, I see.
I'm on the other side of the Santa Cruz Mountains, so I'm on the beach now. I'm only 3 blocks away enjoying it.
And if you are from the Bay Area, you know, to get to Santa Cruz, you have to take, it's the 17, right?
Yeah, that's right. Man, look at you.
It's crazy. You got to go up and over the mountains and the commuting. It's a little bit crazy, but once you go over those mountains, it's beautiful down there. So I'll have to come stay. You got a guest room? Can you fit me in?
We do. Come on down.
Into another room. We need a place to stay.
You can take over the office.
Nice. Podcast, live podcast. LinkedIn. A nice little feature from LinkedIn. LinkedIn's been on a roll, been doing some good stuff. They announced lookalike audiences just this past week.
Oh, I think we can all say it's about time. I mean, literally every other network has this, isn't that right? I mean, mm-hmm. Even Quora, under 2 years old, has lookalike audiences. So I'm glad that see them finally launch this, but I will give them credit. They had a really good caveat on why it's actually like really difficult to make lookalike audiences on LinkedIn. I thought that was like a really interesting point to make just because they really try to match like even like company size is a factor in a lookalike, even your title and your position. So it's a different type of composition rather than just the engagement of a lookalike or that type of person. So I could see how that's definitely a little bit more tricky. But hey, they're kind of combining these traits of this ideal customer and they're going to be able to give you this new types of audiences. So really helping with some of you guys with the scale that you're looking for on LinkedIn. But we'll see if people actually do it. I think most people go to LinkedIn though for that like super specific, highly targeted member profile.
Right. And you know, lookalike is always one of those things that sounds great and then you run a lookalike campaign and it craps the bed and you're like, what? Because the lookalike targeting is like super general or just terrible. Twitter, I remember when they first rolled out lookalike, it was, I don't know, just bad. So you'll see, once you run these things, you'll see if they perform close to your standard retargeting audiences. I do like everything you just said about, you know, retargeting based on some of these attributes like company size, which nobody else has. Of course, they have all this Bing data now, so maybe that plays into the situation. And you can upload CRM lists or just use, you know, your website pixel to create lists to retarget and, of course, expand with lookalike audiences. According to LinkedIn, you will expand your campaign reach 5 to 10x if you use lookalike targeting to take advantage of their access to 610 million professionals on LinkedIn.
It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. I think the one that I saw on here too that I also really liked was creating lookalike audiences and they will match it by companies. So like for you account-based marketers, you can upload, I don't know the number, let's call it 200 companies, and then they will find companies like those companies that maybe you haven't even considered yet. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. And then the question will be, will CPMs and CPCs LinkedIn so anyone can afford?
No.
Great leads. And speaking of expensive, Google got hit with more fines in EU. So just recently, $1.7 billion with a B dollars from a fine from the European Union just on Wednesday, because they, quote, stifled competition in the online advertising sector. So yeah, I heard a joke on, I don't know if you heard the Pivot episode, Scott Galloway's back after going, you know, traveling the world. And he made the line that, you know, Europe has figured out how you get taxes out of Google. Their accountants and lawyers are too smart, so you just fine them. And I just did some math. They got fined $1.7 billion on Wednesday, $2.7 billion in 2017 for their Google shopping stuff, and percent sign, that's what I wrote in my notes, billion. Percent sign's on the five, so maybe it was $5 billion. I'll double check. For Android in July of 2018. So that's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I mean, they're getting to $10 billion in fines.
Whew.
Insane how much money that is. But before you drop dead, they make $32 billion a quarter. So that is still a fraction of their revenue.
Yeah, I was looking. 2018, they made $136.8 billion. Let's just round it up, call it 137. So this is still less than, actually, it's probably really close to like 1%. But hey, 1% of revenue. All right.
Right. And you know, Scott's joke about like, this is how the EU extracts tax money from them. They just sue them. It was $5 billion. My percent sign, which is on the five digit, was correct. So yeah, that is insane.
And it's a ton of money, but I'm actually kind of glad to see this. I think there's a part of me that's seen like these tech companies get away with it too much. Like when you see Amazon not paying taxes, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh, what, really? Like I pay more in taxes than you do? And I get it. Like I know that it's an easy headline, but I'm kind of like, okay, good. Like pay some taxes, but at the same time, you guys do have some monopoly power, and I'm kind of glad to see a little bit of regulation coming in.
Yeah, it is silly that you and I pay our taxes, and we make good money. We're in a very high income bracket compared to most people in this country, maybe not in the Bay Area, but in the country and certainly the world. So I don't know, we're in like the 40% tax bracket. So almost half of everything I earn goes to taxes. And then you have, you know, Jeff Bezos and these people are billionaires, Trump and, you know, on both sides of the aisle that just make an exorbitant amount of money and they pay less taxes than I do. And I make, compared to what they make, a little tiny bit. Because they have great lawyers. And what's funny is if you're in my boat and you're like, I can see that level of wealth, I don't have it, but it's close enough that I know some of those people. And then it's like, I'm just supposed to get rich enough that I can get some lawyer and some accountant to like weasel out of all my taxes. That's what being rich means in this country. It's like, that's kind of messed up. You aspire to one day pay no taxes because you can afford the best accountants.
That's how you know you're rich. You can have lawyers and accountants help you avoid the tax code.
And you, when you have enough money, you can like buy a house that you don't need because it creates some offset of something or other. And, you know, so, well, let's turn this into a class warfare episode. But that's one way of getting money out of Google. And if you haven't been following Amazon, you know, put their big headquarters in Long Island, then they pulled out because they had this huge tax break and people were protesting, and AOC was on Twitter saying, we don't want to pay Amazon to build a headquarters so Amazon can make more money. And they ended up pulling out. And now Cuomo, you know, the governor or the mayor and everybody there is now like wrote a big letter, like, please come back. And really, it's quite a saga. Let's move on to Cora.
Nice. Yeah, so we announced Promoted Answers last year in Q4, but now we've made it a little bit easier for you guys to actually promote your answers. So for all of you guys out there that are writing high quality, high value answers, we've now made it really simple for whenever you are in the answer, you can kind of click on it and say, promote my answer. And you can select a budget, you can select a duration, and you don't necessarily need to have a Quora Ads Manager account. So you can hop right in, do that boost. So we made it even easier for you guys to boost and promote your answers on Quora.
Swipe that credit card.
Swipe it. Let's go. Give me all the money.
This was, I mean, Facebook was, I think, the first one to do this, you know, promote this post and, or boost this post. I think that's where you got your word from. And I know my girlfriend runs like a consult, like she's a coach, meditation coach, health coach. You know, she coaches people on a whole bunch of stuff because she's super healthy and in really good shape. And she did this because she was on Facebook and some posts she did, you know, like did well. And she like boosted her post, threw $50 at it and signed up a bunch of people for like some event she was doing in New York. So I feel like these, and I remember working, I was working with Facebook. This was like 10 years ago when I was maybe even interviewing there. And part of what I was looking at was they were trying to come up with a quote unquote local strategy for small businesses. And they told me the numbers on how many small businesses they had like promoting posts just through the boost button. And it was an outrageous amount of money. And they're like, we do nothing. All we do is give them this button. There's like no reporting, you know, it's just a minimal reporting. And they like, it was a very large revenue stream for them. And they were trying to figure out how to get those folks into Facebook ads and, you know, get them to spend more and all that. But I am optimistic that Quora will make a lot of money on people trying to boost their answers.
Yeah. I mean, we hope so.
Right. My bonus is dependent on it.
No, I think we've just heard from a lot of people that are writing on Quora that they want they want reach and they want it now. And so a lot of it is just like, I want this immediate results. And so we're giving them what they want essentially by allowing them to kind of promote their answer. And then two, that answer is, it's a really great way to actually engage with people, in my opinion, rather than just like throw an ad at them. You can actually like, it's long form text. It's almost like you're putting a blog in front of someone. And so I kind of like that idea of putting what you wrote and being able to persuade and influence through like a blog or written text and hopefully do really well and provide value and maybe have like a click through to your website. And that's kind of what a lot of people are doing. DuckDuckGo is doing this right now and they're actually running Twitter and Facebook and Reddit ads to their Quora answer. It's nuts. It's crazy because their CEO wrote this answer and there's so much social proof on the answer. It's pretty crazy. It's a really cool case study.
Nice. Sign me up. If you have it, it's also a really easy way just to, you know, get your feet wet. Go out there, put us out some questions, write some answers, promote some answers right from the interface. Nice. Speaking of new ad units, Amazon launched a really funky ad unit. I was very surprised by this. I don't know if you had a chance to read this one.
I was actually surprised that they didn't have this one. Like when I saw it, so the headline, right? Amazon to launch mobile ads. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what is that? You didn't have like mobile ads, but it's like, from my understanding, it was selling like video spots, right? On the e-commerce, like on like smartphone, like shopping app. So you're in the app on Amazon and they're going to be having these video ads. And I just thought that was already there, but I guess it isn't. So the another ad unit.
Right. It's a little weird because I don't think of search results as a place to like autoplay videos, but I get, you know, like a picture using Google search and typing in something and like getting a video ad. It feels a little bit more like something that belongs in YouTube or Twitch, but they're putting video ads right in their product search results. So we'll see how that goes for them. Also, you added an article from CNBC, that Amazon suspends more ads for products that don't make money.
What is Yeah. So I came across this one and I thought it was like really interesting. Like they're suspending ads. So like the full thing is, you have an ad and you're running it on their platform, but you're not making any money on it. And by that, it's like also like Amazon isn't making money off of the ad. You're not making any money. And like, cause maybe you're having Amazon, like Prime, right? So they're actually the person that is delivering it and they're doing kind of doing your wholesaling. And they have a name for these products. They're called CRAP, and that stands for Can't Realize a Profit.
Sure it does. That's, oh, that's great. A lot of products on Amazon are crap, and this is just a different type.
I think that's what caught my attention more than anything else, but it's, you know, for the you guys kind of understanding, a lot of these sell for like less than $25. They're usually like really bulky and so that like and heavy. And so it's actually like kind of expensive to ship them out. And so whenever you're not really paying a whole lot of money for them, and then you're paying in ads, and then you're paying for Amazon to fulfill, you're just not making money, which is crap because you can't realize a profit. I absolutely love it.
Right. I do. I think I've talked about this before, so I won't go into it, but I am amazed at how much literal crap, well, not literal crap, like not, but how much poor quality product is on Amazon. I buy stuff on there, but I feel like it's such a hunt to try to find something that's not like this knockoff, like, you know, just piece of junk. And I bought like a soldering station that like holds your soldering iron and has little clips to hold the thing you're soldering because I'm handy.
What are you soldering?
Nothing, actually. I tried to solder one thing and it was a fail. But just like electronics, I would, you know, dig out a little Arduino board eventually. But in the beginning, I was doing like some straight up old school electronics to try to fix some stuff around the house because I'm handy. And like I said, I couldn't fix it. I was trying to replace like an LED bulb in like a kind of lamp thing, and finding the right bulb was like impossible. Anyway, trying to find one that wasn't like a total piece of junk on Amazon, since I've never bought one, I don't know the brands, and then you have to like research the brand. And I find myself doing that a lot where I need to buy something kind of weird. So I'm like, I'll use Amazon. This is perfect. I don't even know what store I'd go to for a, you know, soldering iron station. And then it's just like all these reviews of like, this is a piece of crap plastic that falls apart as soon as you use it. And I don't know. I feel like that's their main problem they need to clean up, is like they need some way of getting rid of these like 5,000 products that are all knockoffs that are just like true crap, in my opinion. That said, most consumers would still rather purchase on Amazon before any other e-commerce site. So despite the fact that there's a lot of junk and crap on Amazon, 83% of people still among web browsers who have clicked on an Amazon product, 83% purchased the item, and 60% said ads were helpful in that process.
I know those stats are staggering. You know, whenever you're saying that like 60% of the daily shoppers found ads to be helpful. Moreover, when browsing on Amazon, 76% of Amazon shoppers have clicked on a product ad. Like, that's really good placement, in my opinion. Amazon is doing a really good job of matching with their search query with the intent of the ad. People are clicking on it. And I mean, 76, like, that's huge. That's a massive click-through rate.
And this is one of those articles that I don't even believe because it's like such a high number. I mean, it is like from a press release from a company called Feedvisor, which is like an AI optimization platform for brands on Amazon. So they have a very large vested interest in you buying Amazon ads and using their optimization algo.
Very true.
So I'm a little bit of like, really? That many? Because surely, well, anyway, these are very high numbers, but Amazon absolutely is dominating e-commerce. I know a lot of folks who are doing e-commerce that tried to stay off Amazon because you don't control the experience. They don't go to your website. You can't retarget them. You know, there's a lot of reasons why selling on Amazon stinks. Obviously, they take a cut of everything you sell, but it's becoming almost impossible not to be on Amazon because so much commerce happens through that.
100%.
Two more stories and then a little something else. Snapchat. There's three stories. Anyway, let's talk about Instagram first.
Yeah, I got to get on that gram.
Yeah, so you can now check out directly from Instagram. I thought they added this. They keep adding a variety of e-commerce features, but you can now directly do in-app checkout for 20 major brands that you get a checkout button, actually, right on Instagram. It's folks like Adidas, Nike, Uniqlo, Warby Parker, et cetera.
Yeah, again, making it easier for the customer, right? So I like this in the fact that it's like removes friction. So it almost feels like Amazon checkout, right? So I'm on Instagram. I see this beautiful image. I see these really cool shoes from Nike or Adidas. And you're just like, yeah, add that to my cart and you check out. And you only have to really like add your information once, right? So your shipping information or your billing card, your credit card. And then from there, they will remember it. So the next time you want to buy something, it's only making it that much easier. So it's almost like a buy now button, which is pretty huge with like a one-click buying, just similar to Amazon. So I see this as a huge threat to like to Pinterest, actually, with, you know, their buyable pins and what they were doing there. So really interesting to see what will happen for e-commerce companies. I think it's going to be great for like the D2C type companies as well.
And I do feel like there's usually in Instagram, there's these like new features, which, you know, come out, barely anybody has them, and they probably do super well. So right now there's only 20 companies in this beta, but as soon as they open it up for others, you're going to see these buyable or these buy buttons everywhere. So nice job for those 20 brands getting the first mover advantage. also in that article, I actually linked to a story, which we forgot to talk about, because Zuckerberg had this big reveal that they're going to move the company strategy to focus on private communication, encrypted private communication. And everybody was like, oh, is this the end of Facebook? And it's, you know, it's him admitting that newsfeed is broken and it's corrupt and all that stuff. And people kind of freaking out about it when I'm like, haven't we known that they've made Messenger a huge part of their strategy for like the last 2 years? And all he's saying basically is like, oh yeah, Instagram, DMs, WhatsApp, and Messenger are the future, not newsfeed. Yeah, no crap. Like,
well, I think this is like, even reading further between the lines, this looks like a WeChat play. And you look at WeChat, how much money that they're producing and how people use their app, it's insane in China. I've had several friends that have gone over there. They always have the app, but they said pretty much everyone communicates through it. Everyone pays through it. And I was reading a little bit more about it. WeChat people or people that use WeChat, they only see 1 to 2 ads a day. That's wow. Nuts, right? And you know how they're making their money? They're making their money off payments. So every time you buy something, they're just getting, you know, their 1% off of that purchase. And so they're just kind of enabling it. So it's almost what I see Facebook moving to is, well, if we can't really, like, they rely on ads revenue and they're going to do really well. But if we go to encrypted, they become this payment place. So you, especially in light of this Instagram in-app checkout, I mean, that's a really good segue right into becoming the next WeChat.
Yeah, certainly it's, I think a lot of folks ever since, you know, Venmo in the US, so WeChat has been doing really well globally for a long time now, especially in China, maybe only in China. And then, you know, Venmo in the US, which was then bought by like a major bank or eBay or Square, somebody bought, I think it was Square, bought Venmo. So you do have this like micro payment transactions. And of course you have blockchain technology, which, you know, came from the crypto movement. And Facebook also working on a crypto backed currency, which I think we mentioned, and it's like backed by multiple real fiat currencies. So, you know, see them moving in this direction. I just didn't think this was news in a sense of, we knew Messenger was a huge focus of theirs. They introduced Messenger ads. They introduced this kind of, you know, moving all the platforms together. Yep, they did go deeper on like encryption and private messaging, but I feel like this is where they knew they need to take the business. We already saw people moving. I mean, you mentioned people moving into SMS, you and your family, when you left Facebook, moved into SMS group. So I feel like this is just kind of everybody getting on board with the trend that we've been talking about for like a very long time, which is messengers are going to rule the world soon. I mean, the whole chatbot revolution that we had 2 years ago was all based around this narrative that all we're going to do is be in messengers, and chatbots are a great assistant in this messenger world.
Very true. Good point, man.
All right. So Snapchat did something cool. And we don't know if we covered it, but their stock actually went up because they had a good quarter. So that's good for Snapchat. And then they also announced some new feature that you're in love with.
I'm in love with it. I just think it looks cool. So it's only a matter of time before it gets copied. But that said, they just launched a voice-activated augmented reality. So you know that they have these lenses, which are like everyone's favorite thing to go play around with on Snapchat. But now they have like, you know, those promoted lenses that I've seen like a lot of like movies do. And for example, this is what they're doing with this Warner Brothers movie called Shazam. So it's a promoted lens, but it's voice-activated. So you can say Shazam, and all of a sudden you look like the genie, right? And it's pretty cool. And we should definitely link to this this Twitter video for those of us that don't have Snapchat and can't test this out. But
yeah, I mean, Snapchat lenses are pretty fun. Usually you open your mouth to trigger an effect, or you raise your eyes to trigger an effect. That's kind of like the traditional way. So this is the first time you can, you know, say a specific word, which is probably pretty easy to do, like voice recognition. But, you know, Snapchat, creative. So you yell Shazam, you turn into Shazam, the character. That's cool. And like you said, so what do you think? What's the bet on when Instagram will introduce voice activated lenses? June? Before or after June?
Let's see. We're going into Q2. They just launched it. I'm going to give them a quarter to build it, replicate it with a launch in Q3.
Okay. I'm taking Q2. I think they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Okay. We'll see. We'll see who's right. We'll see when voice activated lenses show up in all your favorite augmented reality lenses. And the last thing we just want to touch on is the State of Internet Marketing Agency report that WordStream does every year came out. If you haven't read it, if you haven't read it, and you're an agency, you absolutely should, because it gives you a lot of great numbers about what your competitors are out there offering, what services they're offering, how their payments or, you know, fees are structured. A lot of great information about running an agency. I don't know if there's anything in there specifically that you were impressed by.
I think what I loved was kind of the depth of the report. So I was actually really impressed. So the coming out from WordStream, just how many questions they asked, how much information they got from the information from like all their agencies, and like just like really impressive. Like, does your agency offer the following services? SEO, web development, you know, they kind of talk about all of these things. Do you have employees dedicated to paid search full time? And 45% said, no, we do not have dedicated employees to paid search, which I thought was pretty telling. I don't know if I would hire that agency. So I think that was a big one for me. But yeah, definitely go take a look. I know they talked about reporting. They talked about how much time they're spending on this kind of stuff. So really good. I thought it was really relevant.
And it does look like agencies are still a good business to be in. They asked the question, does your agency anticipate growing the amount of spend under management? Only 11% said no. The rest all said yes, some growing more aggressively than others. But still, only 11% foresee the amount of spend under management going down, which generally means higher fees. So really interesting report. Check it out. It's on the WordStream blog. Keep in mind, though, or it's wordstream.com/blog. These are WordStream customers, which tend to be pretty tiny agencies. Mm-hmm. So right. It definitely will skew for these like really small independent agencies, one-person shops and stuff like that.
Definitely. But I was happy with question number 18. So go check it out. Dun, dun, dun. Cliffhanger.
It is a cliffhanger. I'm scrolling as fast as I can. Oh, what online advertising platforms are you currently managing and you're happy because you made the list?
Quora is
officially on the list and you're beating Yahoo Gemini. You're doubled Yahoo Gemini. So take that, extinct network.
Half a Snapchat, but hey, we made it. We made it. And I'll take it after still, you know, almost celebrating 2 years, but we've still got a long ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually amazing. Again, keep in mind who this is targeting, because Amazon is only 9% and you guys are 4%. And, you know, Amazon's a pretty big, well-developed network out there. So really impressive to see Quora on this list, even for these really tiny agencies are making an effort to actively manage campaigns. So nice work over there. Must be all the evangelism from the brand evangelist, J.D. Prater, on the TV show.
Yeah.
If you want more headlines, we just gave you a lot of headlines, but that's like almost 2 weeks of headlines. If you want more, you could sign up for our newsletter over at the blog at blog.adsage.io. Otherwise, head over to SoundCloud and you can listen to some old episodes. And even though last time I promised we'd be back in a week and then we weren't because I took vacation, I really think this next Friday, we will be back. So we will see you soon. Now you say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.